Welcome everyone to the Transform Your Wellness podcast. I am Karen Hagberg and I'm a coach who help people transform their wellness and life and help them create more balance, ultimate wellness and a life they love. The Transform Your Wellness podcast is heartfelt conversations with incredible people who are contributing and following their passion and soul purpose. It's conversation with people who have not only transformed their own life, but also contribute to the world by helping others transform as well. And today I've got the great pleasure to introduce you to Birgitta Sundberg from the Pilates Boutique in Melbourne. I met Birgitta a few years ago now, and funnily enough, we have a lot in common. A lot more than I could ever imagine when I first met you, when you walked in to the Aspire Wellbeing store. And after a little bit of a conversation, we realized, my goodness me, we've got heaps common. And since then, we've kept in contact. And today, we are going to talk about the secrets of keeping balanced and growing in life with Pilates. And that is one of the things that we've got in common, isn't it, Birgitta? So before we get into that, I'd love for you to just introduce yourself a little bit. Go for it.
Yeah, well, my name's Birgitta, and I'm born in Australia but moved to Sweden when I was little, and I've grown up in Sweden. And yeah, and then I came back here. I lose track of time now. But after I finished uni in Sweden, then I came back here and made a life down here in Australia. And my career, I've gone from fitness training, tennis coaching, fitness training, personal training, and now Pilates. I've been at Pilates for quite some time now. It's probably over 20 years. And still loving it and still growing, still learning.
Isn't that incredible? So you walked into my wellness center was it a couple of years ago? I can't remember how many years.
I lose track, but it is a couple of years ago in Torquay.
Yeah, and I think you asked me if I was Swedish.
Yeah, because I recognize your accent. I know my accent is sort of going a little bit, I think. I don't know why, but maybe because I talk so much. But yeah, I was intrigued that you were from Sweden. I'm like, oh yeah. And
yeah.
It's always fun to speak a little bit of Swedish.
Yeah. And then as we started talking, we realized we're both into Pilates as well, which is incredible. And we also got the fitness background as well. So with the Swedish bit though, are your parents Swedish, or what actually brought you? Tell us a little bit about how come you were over there and the story behind that.
So my dad's from Göteborg in Sweden, and my mum's from Finland. I forget the town in Finland, but anyway, they mum with her family came down to Australia, and they met my dad in Australia too. My dad was a seaman, a radio officer, and they met at the Swedish church. And and then my brother and I were born in Australia.
Okay.
And then they wanted us to grow up in Sweden, the Swedish nature, like, which is like amazing. So they wanted us to grow up there. And so we got to experience the full Swedish upbringing with, the ice skating on the lakes. And our nearest neighbor was like 4 kilometers away. And yeah, it's amazing, amazing place.
Yeah, so you spent a lot of time in nature and outdoors by the sound of it as well.
I have a love for nature because of that, and I did also an outdoor education course in between everything, all the fitness stuff, and that was incredible, just learning about the Swedish nature and how to survive in nature too if you don't have much with you. So that was pretty cool.
So how many years, how old were you when you went back to Sweden?
Well, I was nine,
you were there for how many years?
And then I came back here when I was 24.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that was quite a few years. So how was that when you came back here? Did you actually want to go back to Australia, or how did you?
Yeah, so mum and dad moved back here before I did. And I sort of had established a life in Sweden at the time, and I sort of just felt it's sort of now or never, and I really wanted to sort of have a go at living in Australia. Mm. It was like now or never. If I don't do it now, it's sort of, I'm going to end up having a family and kids and everything there, and I won't get a chance to sort of try out living here. So I bit the bullet and I came here after I finished uni, and it took a while. It took me about, I don't know if I'm just slow, but it took me about 2 years to settle in. It was very different to what I was used to, but I don't regret it at all. Like, I love Sweden, yeah, but I really love my life here and what I've created here. So
yeah. So it's obviously now you've been here
a while.
Well, I was going to say, I'm trying to calculate. I wasn't sure how old you are. So
oh, that doesn't matter. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm 48.
Yeah, so you've obviously like, been
wow,
really So obviously it's very different, although there's many things that are the same as well, but one thing is obviously the weather and the outdoors is a little bit different and perhaps a little bit easier here in Australia, would you say?
Yeah, it's both are very beautiful, but I love the skiing, but I resonate with the beach. I love being close to the beach and spending time at the beach. So the things that you post on Facebook at the beach, I'm loving them. Yeah. I don't live right next to the beach like Karen.
It's beautiful. And I feel similar to you, Birgitta. Mm. The ocean is definitely a big driving force for me. Saying that, though, where I'm from is Sweden. I actually came from a coastal city that was sort of the city where people go on holidays in the summer to because of the sand beaches. And now I've moved to the other side of the world, to Australia, and live near the beach too. So definitely for me, it's the summer and the sea is definitely beautiful. It's wonderful, but definitely beautiful parts of the world, both those countries, and hopefully we get to travel back have some more experiences there. So yeah. I believe too, you have a young son as well. Tell us a little bit about your young son.
Yeah, little Maurice. He's 6 years old and he goes to Montessori school and he's loving every moment of it. It was interesting with the COVID unfolding and doing homeschooling. So initially found that a bit challenging, but then he sort of merged into that quite nicely, and now that he's back at school again, he's really loving being with his friends and doing all the things that they do there, and because they very much encourage the interests of the child and teach them through their interests. So it's fascinating when he comes home, he's gone and he's like, "Mommy, I did this and Mommy, I did that and I did the compost today at school," those sort of things.
Sometimes I see you have posted some pictures with Maurice doing some Pilates moves with you as well. But I can imagine it is a bit of a balancing act for you to be a single mother, run your own business, and navigating through the challenges of have had to do some stuff online too through the changes and having to adapt there too. How you found that? Because I believe you've done online sort of classes and mentoring for your participants.
Yeah. I know. It's funny. Like before COVID, like a few people mentioned about teaching online. I was like, oh, yeah, you know. I sort of just brushed it off, and then I didn't have to, but when we got lockdown, I was like, okay, let's do it. And I sort of didn't think much about it. Like I just got into trying to transfer everything online and how am I going to do this? Lots of problem solving. I had freakouts every day because I felt like I didn't have a clue what I was doing. But, you know, little step by little step, I sort of got the hang of it, and I was coaching clients, trying to help them figure out what they were doing and how to do their workouts online. And it was really challenging, but a good challenge. And now that I've opened the studio again, I've got online and studio work, which is fabulous. Like, it's really complemented the business. And for those that have trouble leaving the home, they can now do their workout. I even have a few people like in Sydney or a few other places that I teach too. So it's quite, you know, versatile.
Isn't that incredible that, you know, maybe something we didn't think of before this situation happened, and all of a sudden we are forced kind of to think differently or transform in some way or the other. And I myself actually have been found it quite positive in many ways, more positive than I thought it would be, to keep the connection online. And it's definitely been a real lifesaver for a lot of people, because at the start, people really needed that support and the contact. And when I was teaching, I was teaching Monday mornings and Thursday mornings at 9 a.m., thinking that no one would be interested. And I just thought, no, I want to give people that support. It really doesn't matter how many there are. Yeah, it went up and down. But the cool thing was we obviously did it via Zoom. So when everyone popped in, we kind of had a chat before and checked in on how we were going. Yeah. And then we did the workout, and then at the end had a little chat again. And we were just saying it's actually not that similar in many ways when I taught in person, because, I mean, you still don't have you're in person, but it wasn't actually as foreign as many people thought it would be.
I agree. Yeah. If anything, it's because you can't touch, so it removes the spotting when you're teaching. So you have to think outside the box in how you're going to teach, you know, what visuals are you going to use to help the client understand what you're trying to say to them. You can use their hands. So if, you know, get them to touch their shoulders or wherever you want them to go to help them connect in an exercise. So it's, it's definitely given, I know for me, it's given me a different perspective in my teaching. If anything, it's given me a deeper perspective, because I've had, and how I use my words to convey a certain thing, because I haven't got my hands there to say, hey, come on, activate this area or something like that. I've got to use my words, you know, get them to think about different things to connect it into their body. That makes sense. But yeah.
Absolutely. I often think about that, Birgitta, in terms, because we all teach in different ways. I myself in class has never really been a person that's been very much touching and correcting with my hands, because I very much believe that if you can verbalize it in a way where, and use the person to make it, where I say, hold your hands at your hips, feel, how does it feel, and get them to connect to the feeling, and also through looking at what I'm doing, but then bringing it back into their body, so they're not reliant on an external thing to kind of push and pull them into a certain position. So it's really interesting that, honestly thinking, it may take a little bit of longer time for people to correct, but once they do correct, it sort of comes more from themselves, doesn't it? From listening and feeling their own body, becoming more aware of, you know, themselves.
And they end up owning their workout
more. Exactly. Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? Because I was actually reflecting that this morning in the class, because I was about to go up and, you know, I wanted to correct someone. But I thought, maybe we're not meant to do that now. So that was really interesting. But the thing is, anyway, with correcting, helping someone correct, actually physically correct, it's really important to ask for someone's permission to do that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can actually recall, Birgitta, it just brings back memory to one of the classes that I attended myself. And this instructor did not ask for permission at the start at all. And she went up to this lady and she was quite forceful. It was just straight into her personal space and starting to kind of give her direction. And literally this woman totally freaked out because she was traumatized by it, because something had happened previously that triggered something. And that became quite a big thing actually for this teacher. She got a bit of a warning because she didn't ask for permission. So isn't that interesting also that sometimes we forget when you move into someone's personal space too, that we really got to kind of ask for permission, eh?
Yeah, and I think it's also important. It's part of it, establishing rapport and relationship with clientele too, you know, and building that trust relationship as well, because that's how, and you don't know what people have been through and their traumas and all that. And as a teacher, you become sort of someone that they start bouncing thoughts off and share a little bit what's going on in their lives. And it's just, I guess, showing just respect and space for that individual just to unfold. Because I know a lot, you know, in exercise, sometimes people are just not emotionally ready for certain exercises as well. And as a teacher, you have to be sensitive to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just exercise. It's sort of dealing with a whole person and their different, you know, levels within themselves. And, yeah.
Absolutely. And myself also being an NLP coach, I'm very careful with, you know, placing anchors on someone, particularly when they are in a heightened emotional state, because you've got to be careful with that. But a lot of people are not aware of that. So I think that's when, if you are really smart, kind of really just allowing someone to have emotions and being there, but not perhaps, I mean, as a caring person, as some personality, just want to go up and hug that person instead of just giving them the space of dealing with their own emotions. And it's okay to feel those emotions.
Yeah, and it's funny though. I know both you and I, we've been sort of in this field for a while now. And for us, you know, when you and I start chatting, we just sort of go straight into the deep end. And, but, you know, it's realizing that not everyone's like that and not everyone is connected to their feelings and emotions, and us as trainers being sensitive to that in a way that, they might just be starting and they feel stuff and they don't even know what feeling they're feeling. And allowing them to feel that and maybe helping them explore that feeling sometimes is, you know, it's a bit of a skill.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's right.
I really enjoy all that sort of stuff too.
So why are you so passionate about Pilates particularly? What brought you onto the path of starting to do Pilates?
So a while ago now, because I was tennis coaching for a while and competing, but it got to a place where I was working a lot and competing a lot. I was at Melbourne Park at the time coaching, and that was amazing in itself. But my body was starting to get a bit niggly, and I was going to the gym and doing a lot of fitness stuff and trying to help my body. And I've been doing it for quite some time, but and I have scoliosis and lordosis, but pain was setting in and all this stuff. And I'm like, what do I do? So I was exploring a lot of different avenues, and I just stumbled upon classical Pilates. A friend of mine, a friend now, just came back from US. This is way back. And she had just done her certification in classical Pilates. So I just started going to her once a week. And I did about once a week for about a year. That was enough for me because I was very busy. But the shifts in my body was just amazing just by doing it once a week. And then it sort of merged towards more. And then eventually I was just like, I've got to do a career to transition because this is just amazing what I have experienced in my own body. And I want to share this with others. And I started sharing a little bit at Melbourne Park. So I was teaching the kids, and and I started building my own business, and then it just kept on growing. So then I just sort of ended up just doing my own business and growing my own business. So
fantastic.
Yeah, and I'm still growing. I'm still doing more studies today, and loving it all, loving the depth.
Yeah, so that's really, that is the main thing you're doing in your business?
I am now. I've always had a passion for the body. So from day dosh, I was always gymnastic-y or doing something, and then always running around and sporty tennis sort of thing. And then I was like, I have to get into uni and do like human movement or something. And I did tennis coaching in Sweden, professional tennis coaching. But when I came down here, I was just like, no, I just got to do the human movement stuff. So did that degree, and it's just been growing ever since. And I just have a passion for learning about the body, like not just the physical body, it's the body as a whole.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just infinite. There's just so much to learn.
Absolutely. And it's a wonderful practice. I feel Pilates is something that everyone would benefit from doing. Because for myself too, I came across Pilates when it kind of started to become into the mainstream fitness. Before, it was more just specialized, but when it came into the fitness industry, God, we're talking many years ago now, Birgitta, that was about 2000. And to be honest, when I first came across it, I was actually working together with a physiotherapist at one of the gyms here. I was, a personal trainer there. And the physiotherapist basically just handed us his clients. He didn't do a lot of the work himself. He just handed it to us and said, basically, take them through this and that in their Pilates. And I learned more and more. And it was interesting. Once I started kind of really study and read up about it, I thought, this is really interesting, Pilates, because it's something that I've always, the principles of it, something I've always incorporated in my exercise practice. I thought, this is interesting. And have been very interested in how you do things in the correct way that's going to benefit their body in a safe manner, controlled with breath, with control, with coordination, and with flow. So I thought, I really love this. And I think at the time I got into doing a lot of practice myself, and then did training and ended up starting my own classes. And at that time, it was actually the first, I was the first one down the coast here that started sort of Pilates classes. And that was the year 2000, I believe. Okay. And it was hardly anyone around. And I remember going up to Sydney to do trainings multiple times for my certificate 4 that I was doing. And I remember also saying to the teacher, because I had this goal that I was going to write a book and it was going to be about Pilates too. And I think the teacher just thought, who do you think you are? And basically in 2008, I wrote the book Body Awakening, Balance Your Body, Mind and Spirit with Pilates and an Active Lifestyle, which is not just about Pilates. It's about all the things that we're basically talking about here. It's much more than that. But for myself, it really changed my back issues. Because you know that I used to row when I was younger and beating my body up through very intense training when I started rowing. And became very good at it very quickly. So they just got me to train so much when my body was, I guess, still developing. I was 15, turning 16, and then straight into international competitions and very, very quickly overloading my body, also being hypermobile in my...
in your joints.
My joints, which has been a massive issue. And it's interesting, I came from gymnastics too, doing that in the younger days, jazz ballet, but just genetically too very, very mobile. I literally don't have to stretch, Birgitta, because if I do, I turn into, I can do, basically it's putting pressure on my joints. So when I started doing Pilates, it was really the driving thing for me was to get my back better from all those years after doing so much damage or overuse from the rowing that I did. And it was actually that bad. A lot of people don't know that it was, I had so much pain in the back, I could not walk or sit for too long. I remember if I walked in as a shopping center or something, half an hour, and I was in agony. I couldn't, I had to kind of stretch. It was not good at all. And I can honestly say it's obviously been years and years I've been incorporating doing movements, and my back is incredibly good what it can do now.
Amazing watch. With Pilates, you know where you are if you don't do Pilates, you know, and then when you do Pilates and how strong you feel and the things that you can do with your body when you're trained. Yeah. And you don't need too much. Like, you don't need heaps to just manage your body to keep it healthy,
That's right. And I can recall just last week, one of the ladies said she was going to go on a horse riding for I don't know how many days, but a long horse ride. She said, Pilates is the only thing that really helps my back, and it doesn't have to be a lot. She said it just a little bit each day. It's just changed her life. So I don't think there's any excuse for anyone to not move their bodies. And even until the day we die, we can move, we can do anything. And if we don't, our bodies are going to end up quite stiff and sad, aren't they?
Well, the thing is too, it depends on lifestyle. If one comes from a family that's not into exercise and movement, it's really hard to start. Life in general, we tend to live outside our bodies, and Pilates brings you back into your body and teaches how to live from in here rather than being so busy out there chasing your tail. It just brings it's a mindful workout.
It's definitely for me, Birgitta, it's the thing that gives me joy. And, as hard as it was being, competing on high level and doing that amount of training where it nearly becomes a job, which maybe for some people it's hard to, they don't see the amount of work that goes in. It's literally a job, and that job can be very unbalanced as well. But just doing Pilates for managing life, and as you say, connecting with the bodies, it's such a wonderful thing that you can give yourself.
It is. And I know back when I sort of started, I was still competing in tennis then, and I noticed such a big shift in my tennis game when I had the foundation of Pilates, like the strength, the control, the precision that I experienced in my game from Pilates is incredible. So I reached, including the both, with when I was doing Pilates and tennis, I'd say that was the best of my game. I played really, really well. I got to a level which I was sort of satisfied with, and I was ready to let go and focus on the Pilates. The Pilates passion took over just because of the benefits.
Yeah. So how you found, like most women, in particular, anyone that is a single woman too, I'm sure you've gone through your fair share of challenge in life. How have you found that, I guess, your Pilates or that practice have helped you navigate through, the mental and emotional challenges you've gone through?
It's given me a place of grounding. Because it's always whenever there's stuff, challenges going on, coming back to my Pilates workout, it brings me back to myself, because Pilates is a sort of a moving meditation as well. So when you're working out, you can't, well, for me, I come back to my authentic self. I connect to my authentic self. And often when I'm in that place, when I'm working out, excuse me, the answers come in what I need to do in whatever challenge I'm going through. And it grounds me. So then when I finish my workout and I come back to whatever challenge I'm doing, I can deal with my challenge in a more grounded way rather than over emotional way. So it helps me process through stuff.
Yeah.
And it's also, I know for some men that I train and so forth, they get their energy out, because men, when they work out, they get more sort of anger. Well, women go, they need to be more quiet and meditate, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I work with men and women differently. But I know for me, when I was working out, I sort of needed that centering. So I still had a tough workout, but my mind was very inward focused to find that grounding, to find my center, to then help me in whatever I was going through. So I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it's really helped you being grounded and giving you maybe a chance to step back and get a little bit more clarity of the situation. I really often reflect on just my background of always being an active kid and wanting to do stuff, but also being academic and studying a lot. I think I've heard that people that do sport, they often do better also when it comes to academia. I don't know if that's still true, but I believe I've heard that there's been lots of studies, but I really truly believe that, you know, when you're really, really busy with something, we'll say you're studying for an exam, or you're writing, you're under a lot of pressure, but you kind of sit there and you don't have the clarity. You're trying to find the solution or the answer to write whatever this assignment, and your head's not really working. And I think for me, when I've then stepped away and had that routine of, okay, at this particular time, I'll go and do my workout, and then I kind of let go of that, you know, the study or whatever for a while. And then when I come back, all of a sudden, the answers have come to me.
That's what I was saying before. Exactly it. Yeah. I think also, I mean, exercise in general, but as I said, it's very, Pilates just gives me a whole different level to exercise. But I think exercise in general, it offers it's that stress release. You know, if you don't exercise, you get this stress stored up inside and you will release it in healthy or unhealthy ways. But in exercise, it's a natural stress relief. So it helps you think better and process better in everyday life, because you get rid of that, you know, tension that everybody gets in everyday life. So it's, exactly what you're saying. It helps you concentrate better.
I know a lot of people probably that are going to listen into this podcast here are going to wonder, well, I don't know anything about Pilates, but I do. I have heard of yoga. So if you were to kind of just explain your kind of take on the difference in between the two practices, how would you explain that to someone that doesn't know anything? They say, but, oh, you know, I've heard of yoga, but I've no idea about Pilates. What would you say?
They're different. Different sorts. I love yoga. I do yoga too. It's to do with, Pilates is more about moving. I know yoga is too. In yoga, they hold a lot of the poses. There's a lot of static holding. In Pilates, we move. You know, it's all about movement, organic movement. And in its advanced form, you're connecting your breath, your flowing movement. How do you explain it? It works your body holistically. So body, soul, spirit. It looks at where you store tension in your body. So for me, if you look at my body now, if you can see my neck, you can see where I store tension, which is my neck. It's part of my scoliosis too. I veer off sideways. So we look at where you store tension in the body, look at where you are moving, balanced, and you just try and work on that balance. Work on lengthening out where you store tightness, and just getting the movement even and strengthening within that. So you're connecting into, gosh, there's so much.
There is a lot to it.
You're connecting into your body, and you're locating a true strength. You're locating a true strength. So if you think of a gymnastic body, people that do gymnastics, that's the body that you'll see in Pilates.
Yeah.
You might see the bodybuilder, with the big muscles and they walk like penguins. That's different, that's more gym.
It's real inner strength, as I said.
Inner core strength that we're working towards, and balancing the body out from that. Because in everyday life, we might carry a bag on one shoulder that pulls us off, or just all our habits in everyday life that pulls our body out of its true balance, its center. And then we, in Pilates, we're trying to locate those areas where we pulled off, and just educating you, like, okay, what are you doing in your life that's, causing you to do this or that? So then we help them to change their habits, and alongside that, working on our movement, how we're moving, the basic movements. So a lot of people, as we get older, gravity takes over, and we just sort of help the body in those areas.
Yeah. And I believe too, by doing all those things you were saying, it kind of, because you're going within, it sort of becomes a spiritual practice too, I believe.
Yeah.
Although maybe when we look at yoga, it's more starts from a spiritual practice, and perhaps the focus is not so much on, initially anyway, and depending on who teaches it, on perhaps the form and the setup of the movement. A lot of people see yoga as more of a spiritual practice and a meditative practice. But of course, there's so many different forms of both Pilates and both yoga, isn't there? There's so much. So obviously, it's kind of important, I think, for anyone that's looking to start any of these practices, first of all, take a bit of time to try a few different teachers, try a few different classes, and do their research, because it can be vastly different from instructor to instructor, can't it? And depending on, yoga, for example, you got power yoga and more like fitness yoga, and then you got the real traditional yoga.
Such a large variety. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I think it's really important, as you say, to do your research, have a go at a few different ones, and see which ones work for you. Your body will tell you, your intuition will tell you what feels right and what doesn't feel right. I've sort of veered towards the authentic Pilates, which we're basically trained by the second generation of Joseph Pilates instructors, I think. So, and that's really worked for me. I sleep Pilates nowadays.
I have to definitely come up to your lovely studio when up there. You have to teach me on the equipment. I only taught a bit of reformer and Cadillacs and that when I was working at the physio. But then for me, it's been focus on the mat work and just dealing with your own body, then weaving in some props like the Swiss ball and a little bit of resistor band and things like that. And because I myself, Birgitta, I'm also yoga. I did yoga trainings and I've got the Pilates and from all the years of then the fitness training too, I've now got what I would say my own way of teaching. So I think, because often we can also get really stuck in the labeling of things, which I think sometimes if someone has I've heard people that have gone to yoga, Pilates, and then when they've had discussions with me, they say, oh, I didn't like that at all. And so because they didn't like that particular teacher or that particular style, they throw out whatever Pilates or yoga out completely. And it's, I find that's a little bit of a shame sometimes, because it is about finding that right fit. And just because there's one style you don't like doesn't mean you're not going to like the other.
No. And as I said, your body will tell you. So it's going with what works for you, you know. And yeah, do your research on your instructors as well and see what background they have. And
talking about a lot about balance around, that's obviously, balance is a big key word when it comes to Pilates, but just how, I mean, I help people create balance in their lives, and that's not just obviously one part of their life, health and wellness. What would you say to women in terms of, or maybe I can ask you first, what does it mean to you to live a balanced life in all seven key areas of your life? How would you describe that?
It's a really big topic. I think for me, it's firstly, it's about knowing myself, and I do that by journaling. I journal. So when I journal, I get to see my own thinking on paper, to see my processing, to see where, you know, my default patterns, when I'm on autopilot, you know, all these things. So knowing myself and knowing my limitations, knowing when I get stressed and just being conscious of that. I've burnt out a couple of times in my life, which wasn't a pleasant experience. So in that, I've been learning stress, you know, to know when I feel stressed, to look for the signs of when I'm stressed and the things that I can do to help myself.
Yeah.
A big thing for me is to not to overplan. I'm the one that loves having lots of lists and, you know, doing things perfectly and all that sort of stuff, and I can end up chasing my tail. So I'm aware of that, and I can help myself with that. So I usually have, I set a limit on myself to plan three things in one day to do, the big things that I can do, three things. I don't have to do more than that as long as I get these three things done.
Yeah.
And I always say to myself, just baby steps, you know, don't have to be big steps in moving forward, just baby steps. Coming back to basics is a big one for me. So sleeping well, eating well, exercising, choosing the type of exercising, choosing the type of food, make sure I get my 8 hours sleep minimum. I love sleep. I don't get enough sleep, but I don't function to my max. So, they're sort of the things that are really important to me. Just back to basics, do the basics really well.
Yeah.
Do baby steps and be aware of my limitations. And I find them in my journaling. So I write down, you know, if I feel stressed or feeling any emotions that are unsettling in myself, I write it down and I just sort of write everything, brainstorm, just get it out of me. And then I can sort of see my patterns of thought and patterns of behavior, and I can locate where I need a little bit of help from myself, or if I reach out to others for a little bit of help. It's not wrong to ask for help, you know. I think especially if one goes through challenges, it's really important to reach out to help. Counselors are amazing, you know, to help you on your journey. So,
it's a very good tool. I use it a lot in my coaching too, and get people to journal, because it's very much getting what's in the head out of the head onto paper. And as you say, it makes you also kind of look at that and see if there's repeated patterns or something that's going on. So that's definitely a good tip for for many people to take up, but there were many other good tips there to live a balanced life too. So I want to finish off with one question. And what is your biggest dream, Birgitta? Have you got a dream that you'd like to share?
I've done a lot in my life. Like I've done a lot of stuff. And when you, because I was thinking about that question and, you know, I had a dream of running retreats in Bali and, you know, those sort of things. But I actually have something that's even bigger than that, which is basically living a simple life, finding balance in my simple life and the simple things that I love teaching Pilates. I love eating good food. I love when my my little boy is happy and running around. Just those, that, to me, that's bigger for me, just living a balanced, wholesome life. Then from that, if the Bali retreats happen, if not, that's okay. You know, as long as I'm feeling healthy, wholesome and fit within myself.
I love that, Birgitta. Yeah. I actually got goosebumps all over my body when I listened to you saying that. Because there's so much in it. And I think for you to really know and connect to that, what's really, truly important for you. And maybe the last year has been a real eye-opener for many people in reflecting on what is really, truly important. And some of those things that we thought, maybe we thought in our head that these are the things that are really important, maybe have just gone out the door. And now it becomes about those real true heartfelt kind of things that, are, you know, simple things. You know, maybe we don't need to travel the world. Maybe we don't have to do these massively big things. Maybe it's more connecting with a near and dear loved ones. And maybe that is something that a lot of people have gotten out of you know, the last year, really.
I know there's been so much trauma through the world with what's been going on. And for me, the lockdowns and everything, I don't mind my own space. I actually quite enjoy my own space, so for me it wasn't very traumatic to go in lockdown. If anything, a really good friend of mine said to me, because she was helping me through some challenges, she said to me, use this time well, you know, use this lockdown time well. And that's what I've done. And I've come out the other side feeling stronger, feeling healthy and really connected to my little boy. And, you know, I think that was a very, very valuable advice my friend gave me. Use your time well.
Yeah. And I definitely felt that right at the start. I remember March last year when I was on the beautiful Point Addis beach and I was doing a meditation there. And I guess whatever you can call it, my guides or spirit or whatever that talks through me all the time basically just said, this is the time to go inwards.
Yeah.
And that was my message at the time. And we've had a lot of distractions on the outside.
Quiet time is, I know some people don't have a nice place at home, that it's been challenging with this time, but I think it's really helped people connect to the source, you know, to your source, whatever that might be.
Yeah.
You know, that quiet time is to connect to that inner place within. And yeah, start unpacking a little bit about what's going on inside.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And how wonderful it's been to get to know you a little bit more, Birgitta, today even. And I look forward to see how the future, you know, what happens in the future. And perhaps we'll be doing more things together. Who knows?
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. And anyone that's listening to this podcast can definitely get in contact with myself or Birgitta if you've got any questions around the topics we've taken up today. And if you also want to join the Transform Your Wellness community, it is a group on Facebook that I'm running that you'll receive lots of tips and tricks of how to stay balanced and how to stay in your authentic truth and following your soul purpose in life, with lots of wellness tips and tricks and so on. So thank you so much, Birgitta. It was lovely to have you here, and we will definitely connect soon again.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much, everyone. Thanks for joining me. Thanks.